So today, the title of my sermon is prayer, God's powerful word. And so if you will go ahead and turn your Bibles to Romans 10:13, it's going to be on the screen if you're not there yet. But Romans 10:13-14, it says this: "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can he call on him to save them unless they believe in him? And how can they believe in him unless they've heard about him?" So how can they believe if they've never heard? And so this morning we're going to be talking about prayer, and I'm going to attack the issue of prayer from a different angle, so bear with me. But hopefully this morning it'll open your eyes to a whole new way of praying. And so in Romans 10:17, a couple of verses further, it says, "Now faith comes by what? By hearing, and hearing the word of God." So faith comes by what? Hearing the word of God. So faith comes by hearing God's word. So how do you grow in faith? Through God's word. How do you grow in your relationship with God? Through God's word. How do you experience God in your life? Through God's word. How do you receive that thing that you were believing God for this morning? Through God's word. There's two things that people stop doing when they get busy. The first one is read God's word. And then the second one is go to church. The two places where you hear God's word in your life is the first two things we drop when we get busy. You know, there are people who are desperate for change to happen in their life. Maybe that's you this morning. You're desperate for God to do something in your life. And I want to tell you this morning that it starts right here in God's word. It's not about whether or not the preacher preaches a good sermon. It's God's word that will change your life. You know, the kids at youth group, we're doing a series on faith, prayer, faith, and authority. And so if your kids are not going to youth group, you need to get them to youth group, because they are going to learn how to pray. They're going to learn how to stand in faith, and they're going to learn how to take authority over the enemy. Faith comes by hearing. How are they supposed to learn if they don't hear? So I encourage you guys, get your kids there. All right, so faith comes by what? Hearing God's word. So in Romans 1:16, it says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the what?" What is it? Power. It is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it's powerful. And so point number one this morning is this. If you're doing the fill in the blanks or just taking notes on your own, God's word is power. God's word is the power. See, people use this verse for, you know, preaching and leading people to the Lord. You know, I'm not ashamed of God. I'm going to tell them about what Jesus done in my life. And it does mean that, okay? But I want to look at something this morning, because the Greek word for salvation in this verse is soteria, and it means this: deliverance, safety, salvation, benefits, and blessings, redeemed from all earthly ills, and eternal life. So the verse that we all know so well really says this: "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to deliver." I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God to bring safety. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to bring his benefits and blessings into my life. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, because it is the power of God to redeem us from all earthly ills. God's word is the power, the breakthrough you need in your life, the change you need in your life. God's word has the power to change your life. It has the power to change your life. And in fact, in Hebrews 4:12, it says this: "For the word of God is living and what? Powerful." The word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God's word is power. Struggle sometimes. Preachers will preach for an hour and use one Bible verse. Nobody cares what I think for me to talk for that long. Who's enjoying the one-hour services? Yeah. Hallelujah. Don't worry. We're still doing a one-hour service. Because it doesn't matter what I think. What it matters is, what does God's word say? This is why when I preach, I fire hose you with God's word. In this verse. Because it doesn't matter what I think. It matters what God's word says. So God's word is the power. And faith comes by what? Hearing God's word. Hebrews 11:1 says this. Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Other translation says it's the evidence of what we don't see. So I want to explain something to you this morning. Hope says it will happen. Hope says it will happen. Faith says it's happening right now. Do we have hope in Jesus that he's coming back? We have hope that when we die, that we have eternal life, that we're going to go be with Jesus. But faith says it's happening right now. So the Bible doesn't tell us to pray the prayer of hope. It says pray the prayer of faith. See, sometimes when we pray, you know, I'm a youth pastor. Anyone in here like McDonald's? Okay, nobody likes McDonald's. Anybody in here eat McDonald's? Okay, I'm a youth pastor. I don't like it, but it's what you do, okay? Don't judge me, all right, okay? Still holding a little bit of holiday weight, all right, okay? No judging, all right? But I eat McDonald's. And when I go to McDonald's and I go in and I walk up to the counter and I say, sir, I will take a Big Mac meal large with no pickles, no onions, and extra mac sauce. Get rid of the fries, put chicken nuggets, and a Dr. Pepper. He says, okay, and I pay. And he walks away. And I don't go, hey, excuse me, sir, I'll take a Big Mac meal large with no pickles, no onions, extra mac sauce. Get rid of the fries, put some chicken nuggets in there, and a Dr. Pepper. He says, you want two? I'm like, no, I just want the one. Oh, okay. And he walks away, and I say, sir, I will take a Big Mac meal large with no pickles, no onions, extra mac sauce. Get rid of the fries, put some chicken nuggets in there, and a Dr. Pepper. And he says, well, you want three? I'm like, no, I just want the one. He says, okay, and he walks away, and I say, sir, I will take a Big Mac meal large with no pickles, no onions, extra mac sauce, get rid of the fries, put some chicken nuggets in there, and a Dr. Pepper. He's like, you want four? See, this is what we do when we pray. We say, God, and we send out our prayer, and then the next day, we pray the same prayer again, and then the next day, we put our order in again, and then the next day, we put our order in again, and God's like, wait a second, I already gave you this meal, because this is the thing. God's word says that by his stripes, we are healed. He already paid the price for that. He says all of his promises are yes and amen. And this is the thing. God's like, I already paid for that. If Pastor John, he's such a good guy. Pastor John, he goes and he buys this brand new car and he pays for it in full and he takes it and he gives it to you. Title keys, everything. Enjoy your new car. Is the first thing you do is go to the dealership and try to make a payment? Then why do we do that when we pray? Jesus already paid for it. It's already done. See, hope says it will happen, but faith says it's happening right now. And faith is the evidence of what we don't see. And even though I don't feel the healing yet, I know because faith is the evidence. And even though I don't see it, I already receive it. So faith says, God's word is true. I believe it. So now I receive it. See, I'm convinced. Not you guys, because you guys are so spiritual. But I'm convinced that most Christians in America today have no idea how to pray. They have no idea how to pray. See, faith is certain on how powerful God's word is. 1 John 5:14 says this. Now there's confidence that we have in him that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Okay, I'm going to blow your mind this morning. You guys ready for this? The Greek word for ask for anything, you ready for it? Is anything. Blew your mind, I know. It says he's confident, ready? Confidence that we ask anything according to what? His will. Now, this is where we get off track, okay? You hear people all the time, God, if you're willing. That's not a prayer. Show me one place in the Bible where Jesus was not willing to heal someone. Show me one place in the Bible where Jesus wasn't willing to give them what they came for. We say, well, God, if you're willing. And I'm going to tell you right now that It's lazy Christianity, because what we do is we say, all right, I'm going to throw it up there, God, if you're willing. And then if God does something, he did a miracle. If he doesn't, well, I guess he wasn't willing to do it. I don't know what Bible you're reading, because my God is. And he already paid for it. So this is the thing. Faith says that I am fully confident that God's word is true, and I believe it, so now I receive it. Receiving it is not seeing it. Faith is the evidence of things yet don't see yet. See, it's funny. So what does it mean according to God's will? Now, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will. Question, how would you know How do you know if you're praying according to God's will if you don't know what God's word says? This is the problem. Not you guys are super spiritual. Most Christians in America, though, have no idea what God's word says. But how do you know what you're praying is according to his will? But I am a good person. I have good intentions. I have good intentions, too. Okay, don't judge me. Okay, sorry, Mr. Perfect. Forgot that you never make mistakes, too. But this last week, I played the lottery. Okay, it was like $500 million. Okay, I know the preacher played the lottery. Okay, forgive me. All right. But I thought to myself, God, it's $500 million. I said, God, I will give you $494 million. I will keep six. And I thought, my dad has two orphanages. I thought, my dad's orphanages will be set for the next 100 years. I'll build a new gym. I'll build us a new sanctuary. We'll finish the parking lot. And guess what happened? Nothing. I didn't win. Because you got to pray according to God's will. Shocker. Some of you guys play too, so I don't even want to hear it. You gotta pray according to God's will. See, God's will is not for you, him to answer your prayer to win the lottery so that you never rely on him again for the rest of your life. Why would he do that? But I had good intentions. I was going to give him $494 million. And I thought, I was like, well, what if I said, God, I'll give you all of it? But then I was like, ooh, then I got to give all the money away when I win. then we find out how good your character really is. See, you got to pray according to God's will. And so often all we think of is prayer as, well, just in communication with God. God, if you will. And then we make it super spiritual by throwing in like an art and a thou. I'm not sure if I know anyone named Art. So, point number two, God's word is the power in your prayers. God's word is the power in your prayers. Now, if anyone has ever heard me pray before, okay, the phrase I always use is, God, your word says. I just want to let you know, I'm not reminding God what his word says because he's not an idiot, okay? But what I am doing is I'm reminding the enemy of what God's word says. And this morning I want to tell you, if you do not know what to pray, then it's time that you just start reading out loud God's word. Because God's word is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It has the power to change your life. And if you don't know how to pray, you don't know what to pray, then just start speaking God's word over your life, over your kids' life, over your family's life, because God's word has the power to change everything. So we say, God, your word says it. I believe it. So now I receive it. Receive it. So God is the God of the impossible. Sometimes we put God on this thing where we like limit God to what we could do. Oh, it's pretty bad. God is the God of the impossible, and his word is powerful. Point number three is this. Are you praying with power? Are you praying with power, or are you fighting the enemy? Are you doing spiritual warfare and fighting the enemy with a potato gun? Well, if I pray it enough, if I get enough people to pray with me, are you praying with power? So I want to look. I really like this verse. I have a guitar it's in my closet. It's just a junky guitar. It's like not even worth $50. So I like, because I was practicing painting guitars. Okay, I'm terrible at it. But anyway, so I was like painting the guitar, and on it, it has this verse, and I love it. And it says this, 1 Thessalonians 1:8. From you, the word of the Lord has sounded forth. From you, the word of the Lord has sounded forth. I love the end of the verse. It says, so that we do not need to say anything. Now, this verse is talking about the apostles spreading the gospel, okay? But I think it rings true in the aspect of prayer because God's word is powerful. And the verse says, because the word of the Lord has sounded forth. So now I don't need to say anything. If you are struggling with being positive in the things you say, because words have power, you can pray all day and then tear it down with the words you say. So if you don't know what to, if you can't speak positive, then don't say anything and just let the word of the Lord sound forth. Like a bullet from a gun. When you release the word of the Lord, the enemy cannot put it back in. Sound forth. There's a lot of people, I don't know, like I get very excited when I pray, but now you know why. Because I'm praying God's word. Because I'm a very excited person all the time. I don't even know. It's exhausting. By the time I get home, I take a nap. Okay? So people tell me all the time, man, Pastor Isaac, you're kind of an angry prayer. I was like, you got that right. Like the enemy has ticked me off. And now I'm going to let the word of the Lord sound forth. You want to mess with me? Let the word of the Lord sound forth so I don't need to say anything. If you don't know what to pray, just let the word of the Lord sound forth in those situations. And you know, I used to, it's funny because as society has changed, you ever remember like church used to be like super cheesy? Anybody? I miss those days. Like when everything was like super cheesy and like you had your mom and she would speak the word over everything. Why don't we do that anymore? The word was powerful. We're trying to be all cool and trendy. Oh, I can't say that to people. That's weird. Why not? You're going to speak empty words or you want to speak power? Let's just speak God's word over the situation. I miss those days. All right. Don't worry. Those are the days of 3-hour sermons too. I'm going to stretch to get ready. You guys ready for this? No, I'm kidding. It's like a bullet from a gun, and once it's released, the enemy can't take it back. So what are you releasing over the circumstances in your life? I'm telling you, if we as a church can grasp this concept, we'd become a church that prays with power. Who knows what's going to happen next? God, whatever you want. And we're stepping into a new season, and you're going to see things you've never seen before. You ready? Want to go ahead and come up? We're wrapping it up here. Proverbs 4:20 says this, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh." The word of God is life to those who find it. It is health to their flesh. Crystal's mom should have died 20 years ago. 20 years ago, she was given 1 year to live. She had a rheumatoid arthritis, and the doctors told her, Crystal's family, just enjoy your mom while you can. She couldn't move out of the chair. So, remember those like old school Walkmans? You have to like, now it's all on your phone. The cassette tape. I didn't go A-track, I'm not that old. She had the old school Walkman. And on the Walkman, all it was cassette tapes from Kenneth Hagin Ministries. And it was Lynette Hagin reading healing scriptures. Just reading through them. And so she would just sit in the chair. She couldn't move. And she would listen to God's word. And when it was done, she would flip it over and listen to the other side. When it was done, she'd flip it over and listen to the other side. It's all she would do all day, every day. And one day, Crystal's dad came home from work, and the house was clean. There was dinner on the table. And nobody came over that day and laid hands on her for healing. Faith comes by hearing God's word, and God's word is alive and powerful. And it is life and healing to those who find it. Why are we praying prayers that are just what we want to say? How about we just stop talking and we pray what God wants to say about us? I'm telling you, a lot of people think prayer doesn't work. I'm telling you it does. But you have to play with live ammo. When I was in the Army, I was in boot camp. Pastor John will tell you, back then boot camp is not what it was today. Like, I remember one time the drill sergeant kicked me in the face. Like, I mean, they it was brutal. But they would train you on every weapon there was. And so I'm at boot camp, and it is like the 3 days of training for grenades. And so they go, and you go through all this training, and they give you, like, there's, like, buckets full of, like, plastic fake grenades. And they have all these, like, SWAT team scenarios where you got to go in, and they've got, like, buildings set up, and you got to throw it through the window or into the Humvee or into the tank or whatever. And it's funny because I grew up in Liverpool, England, and the only sport I ever played was soccer. Okay? I never threw a ball until I was a senior in high school, and I moved to America, and I, like, it was like a small Christian school, and they had a baseball team. And I couldn't figure out, do I throw up my left hand or my right hand? Because they're both just as bad. And so we're training, and everyone's making fun of me because, I mean, I can't hit the broadside of a barn. I mean, the window would be like an 8-foot by 8-foot window, and I still can't get it through. So I was like just made fun of brutally the whole time. And, you know, the drill sergeant's always like in your face, like spit everywhere. King, what's your malfunction? You know, and like, man. So the day comes, and for training to be complete, you have to train with live ammo. So they give you a live grenade. And what happens is your whole platoon stands behind us in this building behind bulletproof glass, and you get to watch the grenade explode. And you, one at a time, you go out there and you stand behind this like 5-foot wall, and you throw the grenade over the wall and you duck down. And then they do all this training. It's like little walls. And like if you drop the grenade, you practice diving over the walls to save yourself. And so the drill sergeant, he's about to give me the grenade, and I won't repeat what he said because I'm a pastor and I can't. But basically, he said, you better not drop this. And so we're standing there, and he puts the grenade in my hand, and he closes my hand around the grenade. He's like, you got it? I'm like, yeah. He's like, okay. And he pulls the pin out. And then it kind of hit me. Grenade is a fancy word for bomb. Does anyone else think this is stupid? What are we doing? And so, in that moment, Seth would have been so proud of me. I wound up like this. Like the leg came up and everything. You know, and I like, get rid of that thing. So I get back to the building, and I am waiting for everyone to make fun of me, and no one says anything, and I'm like, that's weird. They made fun of me all week. It was brutal. And so my friend Bailey, his last name is Bailey, I'm like, Bailey, how come no one's making fun of me? And he goes, dude, you threw it twice as far as everybody. Because this was the thing. When all of a sudden I'm playing with live ammo, it changed the way that I released it. We're not messing around anymore. We're playing with live ammo. And what I want to tell you this morning is this, is that when you pray with live ammo, it changes the way that you release it, because we let the word of the Lord sound forth. Or you can play with a potato gun. God, if you're willing. Changes the way we release it. And so my challenge for you this week is pray according to God's word. I'm going to give you a hint. You ready for it? It's called Google Bible verses on. You don't even have to be a Bible scholar anymore. But my challenge for you is this. Whatever you are believing God for, find Bible verses to speak over your life. Find Bible verses that you will sound forth over that situation. This is why I'm an angry prayer. You want to mess with me, Satan? I'm unleashing all of God's word all over you. Here it comes. Going to stand with me this morning. Father God, we thank you for today. God, we thank you that your word is true. We thank you, God, that all your promises are yes and amen. And so, God, this morning, just lift up to God the need you have in your life. God, this morning, we believe that your word is true. Lord God, we believe it. Lord God, your word says it. We believe it. And right now, we receive it in the name of Jesus. We receive it in the name of Jesus. No longer will we fight the enemy with the potato gun. But from here on out, we're using live ammo, because your word is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.